Welcome to Simple Theology, a podcast connecting theology to everyday life. I'm Robert Kane.
I'm Rick Gromlich.
Yes, you are. No hesitation there.
I got you.
A slight hesitation, but
what am I going to say? Well, I enjoy being a guest on your show.
Enjoy you being a guest.
Yeah.
You do a great job.
It's a wonderful delight, and we would love to have more guests on our show.
We talk about that.
Maybe. Yeah, we talk about guests, who we'd have, what we would do. We talk about travel.
We do.
Why we travel, why we don't travel, why we want to travel more. So that's, we're traversing a lot in that topic.
We're traversing to travel.
We talk about parenting. There's a lot to talk about parenting. Rob, not sure if he wants to be a parent anymore.
Stop.
So turn into that. Listen there. And we talk about yard work. So get into the yard work. Rob, always good.
Always good.
To be in studio with you again, covering...
Thanks for returning.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me back on the show.
Back on the show.
Back on the show.
Frequent guest.
You know, it's been a while since we've had a guest.
It has.
It's probably been close to a year or more.
Maybe.
I think Luke was... Shout out to Luke.
Sitting right there.
He was sitting right here.
Right there, listeners.
You see that?
That's where. Right there. Yeah, maybe we should.
If you could have anyone on the show, anyone alive.
Oh man,
on the planet.
I have no idea.
Come on.
I don't know.
Nobody?
You know who I would really like to have on the show?
Yeah.
And we've already had him on the show.
Oh, well then that doesn't count.
You want to take a guess?
No.
Jonathan Lehman.
Oh, Lehman.
I just took some some guys down to a weekender.
Yes.
And that guy, he strikes a really good, him and Dever both. But Lehman strikes a really good balance, and you do a good job of this too, of being like really knowing his stuff,
yeah,
and being funny. Mm. Like I can give you a good exegetical argument here, and
yeah.
I will. But I'm gonna sprinkle some humor in. Like it's not a lecture. Wow. It's like I'm gonna.
You just put me on the pedestal with those guys. Highest praise.
Well, good.
I've almost
never
had.
Gotta keep you coming back.
You know the best compliment I've ever had.
I'm gonna tell you.
Somebody, friend of mine. When we first got to know each other, he's like, you know who you remind me of? Val Kilmer from Top Gun. I was like, heck yeah! Best comment or compliment
Thanks.
Ever.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
But I was like, dude, that's high praise. I mean,
I
don't know if you're a Top Gun fan or not. Doesn't really matter. Val Kilmer is killing it in that movie.
All right.
Not all literally right. yet.
All right.
Someone could argue.
Matthew
anyway. Yeah.
Dude, watched a movie recently.
Good for you.
Thank you. You know, I'll share what it was. It was...
I'll be vulnerable. Put myself out there.
Yeah, it's a little racy of a film.
Okay.
Called Sing 2.
Oh, gee. Wow.
Pixar, Disney, whatever it is.
You let yourself watch that?
Yeah, exactly. That...
Were you dancing?
Dude, I'm telling you though, it was good.
Yeah.
I watch all kinds of kids' movies now.
Because you have kids.
Exactly.
Are you a Sing One fan? Let's break that down.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I do like the movie Sing.
Yes.
The original.
The OG.
Yeah, very good. I think I like Sing 2 more.
Okay.
Yeah.
OG. All right.
Maybe because it's just the new one.
It's newer.
Yeah, and I really liked it. And,
you know, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we watched it a couple times. We got it from Redbox, and so we knew we had to return it. So the girls will like this. We can watch it.
Double dip a little bit.
Yes. So we did, and glad we did.
You know what movie I watched recently?
What's that?
Which,
be vulnerable, share with me.
Yeah, this is
be
not...
Be honest, be transparent.
Bit, this is a little bit more toned down than Sing 2, but was the movie Dune.
Oh, yeah, great movie.
And I've been working through the book.
Have you?
And I was like eight chapters in.
Okay.
And I got really like, I'm just like, man, I can't do this book. It's just too complicated. Got some very great wisdom. Said, hey.
When you say too complicated, is that like...
There's so much going on.
Okay.
There's like different planets, different names, different languages.
Right.
Lots of people.
And you don't have like kind of that underlying background like you would with Lord of the Rings. Or,
exactly. There's no
framework.
If I
were to pick up Lord of the Rings right now, I've never gone through it, but if I were to pick it up, I would have some background. Like, I've heard that name before. That
right. Exactly. Which... There's a lot in the books that obviously...
So Dune, there's none of that.
Correct. So that's how I'm reading the book.
Right.
And then I'm like, man, I don't think I have the energy for this which I'm not usually a book quitter. I read a book, took me 4 years to read Gods and Generals. It's a
wow.
book about Civil War, but I finished it. But someone said, hey, watch the movie. Watch the movie. Gives framework. It won't ruin the book. And by golly, they were right.
Doggone it.
I watched the movie and now I'm like digging the book again.
The movie was good.
So it was
good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be another one.
In a few years. Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. So, Rob, I appreciate the vulnerability.
Oh, yeah.
Sharing about that.
Anything to be vulnerable.
I'm not sure how we got on there, though.
I don't know.
Val Kilmer.
Have we ever had the conversation about the word vulnerability?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which I agree. Vulnerability is, it's a great, what's the word? Character trait for you to have.
That's
what you were saying, right?
No, that's not the conversation we had. Kind of the opposite.
It's actually the opposite. Yeah. We should
honesty
do that.
Honesty and transparency, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But go ahead.
No, but I appreciate you comparing me to Jonathan Lehman. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you know what?
That was great.
Yeah. I actually listened to the episode that we had with him recently.
Oh, yeah?
Because Luke sent it out. We're talking about our most recent guest.
Yeah.
Luke sent it out to our group after the Weekender. Yeah. He's like, hey, guys, for your listening. I was like, oh, my goodness. But I listened to it. I was like, what? Yeah. Dumb things that I say. I'm just kind of trying to prepare myself.
Yeah. I was probably the one saying most of the dumb things.
No, you seemed like you were a lot more comfortable with the... I think I was more nervous with the interview. I didn't want to say anything dumb to him. And so you were joking around with him and he seemed to enjoy that, which was fun.
I don't know.
But I'll have to say, if we could have anybody,
it'd
be fun to have him on again. Just
Welcome back.
Because he talked about on that episode at the end, you asked what project she was working on. And listeners, I would love to tell you what episode number it was. I don't remember. You're just going to have to look in the archives. All you have to do is go to our website and type in Lehman, L-E-E-M-A-N.
It was May or June of 2019.
That's right. And he mentioned, you asked what projects he's working on. He's like, I'm working on a book right now. The manuscript's due in the fall. He said, on, and we did a little drum roll, and he said, multi-site.
Yeah.
And it was the book, One Assembly.
Yeah.
Which, one of his best books.
Yeah.
I mean, just especially timely with the COVID stuff. And
yeah.
Importance of gathering. So
that's good. Jonathan Lehman, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Back on the show next week.
Right.
Good deal. Well, Rob, I have some topics I've prepared.
Good. I'm happy to
hear
that.
And I want to parse through these with you.
Okay.
So the first one, which is, it's fun to talk about this now because the last few years have really changed things, but traveling.
Okay. Well, hold on. Listeners,
travel.
If you're new to the show, first off, glad you're here.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks for coming.
Wow.
Hope we continue to return.
Kind of buried the lead there, didn't we?
Yeah. We've changed things on the show. So if you listen to previous episodes,
and
Rick and I go into the
missed...
show pretty well prepared. We do some research, do some study, we look at articles, make some references.
Yes.
And we would talk about various doctrines.
Mm.
And then we pivoted a little bit, and then we've pivoted again to where now we're talking about cultural events, and we're trying to bring a Christian worldview and understanding to it.
Yeah.
Now,
pretty much just talking about what we want to talk about.
There's next to no prep. I don't know what Rick's topics are.
Yeah, yeah.
So he knows them.
Maybe.
I think. He said you were prepared. And he'll throw them out, and then we'll have some conversation about it. So that's how this shindig works.
Maybe I should say the word, and then you just reply with what the first thing comes to your mind.
That sounds like a really wise practice.
Yes. Travel.
Fun.
Okay. Next episode, talking point.
Okay, expensive.
So, expensive, yes.
Yeah.
Gas prices. Am I right?
Impossible.
You know, I read an email update from a church planter. You might have got the same email from a guy who's an American married to a Czech lady. They're doing church planting in Czech Republic. Gas prices, they're saying $8.50 a gallon, which they're already high in Europe anyway. But $8.50.
Good.
I was like, well, praise the Lord for my $3.99 then.
Wow, man. That's bananas.
Anyway, so travel. Most people enjoy traveling of some sort,
right?
So some more than others. But in general, people like to travel. It's exciting to go to different places, see different things. But what is like the appeal? I'm not talking about like travel that's required, like for work. I don't travel much for work. I don't have to travel for work. So if I am traveling, it's usually because I'm choosing to go to a conference or some kind of thing.
Right.
So not talking about work travel or necessity for like a wedding, but what is it about travel that we love for the most part? What do we love about travel? Why are we all about it? And personally, Rob, you're a guy who loves to travel.
I do love to travel.
I love traveling with you.
Thank you.
Traveled extensively. I've traveled with Rob more than I've traveled with any other person on the planet.
Stop.
That's actually not true.
Oh, dang it.
Well, and I've traveled to more places.
Okay.
With you than anyone else.
Okay.
I mean, I've traveled.
You're talking about time wise.
Yeah, like I've traveled to Russia a lot with my dad.
Okay.
Right.
I thought you were gonna say time wise. You traveled the most with Candace.
Well, yeah. If you added up,
driving
like,
around town, yeah, yep. You're traveling if you added that from up, yes, the grocery store true. To your house.
It all adds up. Am I right? But yes, so lots of travel time together, which is fun.
It is fun.
But yeah, I think traveling is something, it just reveals a little something about our culture, especially right. In the West. I mean, growing up, travel was still, like I'm thinking about like in the 90s, early 2000s, like to meet someone else who had like been overseas, was it like to be overseas mm-hmm. was a thing.
Right.
Now, man, people... It's no big deal. Oh, we're taking a honeymoon in Ireland, or we're traveling to do this thing, or it's like hop on a plane and a few hours you're there.
Right.
I mean, it was that way in the 90s, but just the finances, the availability, Airbnb, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which
is a funny note on that. I was hearing some guys on another podcast talk about the concept of Airbnb.
Yeah.
And how it's getting like super complicated in that, okay, go there, make sure you take off all the linens when you're done, put them in a certain area, make sure you clean up, make sure the dishwasher's ran, make sure that, and it's like, for the same price, I could go stay in a more comfortable bed at a nice hotel, and they would do all that stuff for me.
Yeah.
If I needed toothpaste, they would bring it up, and then get a continental breakfast in the morning. I don't have to pay for my food either. Like, hotels are suddenly looking like a bargain.
I know. The irony.
Funny how that works.
I know. It's true, though. It's true. Do you prefer an Airbnb over a hotel?
I mean, my recent booking experience would say yes.
Of an Airbnb?
Yeah, just recently I've booked more Airbnbs than hotels.
Yes.
I think it also depends if I'm traveling with a group or if I'm just traveling myself or just Danielle and I.
Yes.
If it's just Danielle and I or just myself, I'd prefer a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
One, I mean, there's just the safety aspect.
Yeah.
But two,
and there's security in numbers. So
right,
if you have a group of you traveling, you're safer together in that Airbnb.
Right. Two, if I'm traveling by myself, there's no way I want to mess with the linens and trying to put everything back. And
no,
I'm just I would rather just sleep comfortably, have a TV where I can watch some stuff, have a nice little spot to read, and then be able to leave and not have to think about it again.
Right.
Whereas in Airbnb, you got to remember the code to get in and you got to...
The whole thing.
There's the whole thing. You got to message the person when you leave, let them know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just depends. If it's a group, try to get a house because probably get a better price and you can enjoy it, but it's just me. I'm going to hotel.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so back to kind of my question about what is the appeal to traveling?
Yeah.
I think first instinct, people and places, right? That seems to be, but your thoughts?
Yeah, so people and places, more so places, just being able to see things that you don't typically get to see.
Yeah.
So for instance, I like traveling to where I would travel. Somebody was like, hey, we want to take a weekend trip to Indiana.
Yeah.
I'd be like, cool.
Have fun with that.
As long as I get to hang out with you guys.
Okay, yeah.
But that's the people aspect.
Right.
If it's the people aren't there, then I'm trying to go see something that I otherwise couldn't see in Ohio. And Ohio and Indiana got a lot of similarities.
Yes.
So if I'm trying to travel somewhere, I'm wanting to see something. So like we just traveled to D.C., which was great. And that was cool.
What did you see in D.C.?
Saw a lot of things.
Okay, that's fun.
I got to walk around the mall. So
did you buy anything?
Is the mall at the Capitol, and so why do they call it the mall, do you know?
Well, I think the term mall is like kind of like a long, like stretched out, because there's all these different buildings along,
right?
So I think it goes back, I could be wrong on that, but a mall, like we say mall, we think shopping, like commercial, whereas I think it's supposed to be like a design of structures.
Okay.
Planned out
so
area.
I walked around with you guys the design of structures. Where
I'm looking it up as we speak.
White House, the Capitol building, the Lincoln Memorial. I didn't see all these things. Our whole group in general did. Some guys walked further than others. The Washington Memorial or Monument. Mm-hmm. And so, that was really cool. That was enjoyable. Got to go to a really nice restaurant. called Ebbets.
Okay.
Yeah, guy in our group, Jonathan, took us there, and then
Jonathan Lehman.
Yeah. I didn't want to say his last name, but yeah. No, not Jonathan Lehman.
Oh, come on, Johnny.
And so that was fun, but we just got to enjoy things that we otherwise don't get to enjoy. And for me, that's the primary appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Is you get to take some things in that you otherwise couldn't take in. There's also like a, this is smaller for me, but it's still there, is the cultural appeal.
Yes.
Of, they do things differently. And it's kind of fun to immerse yourself in that for a little bit. Even DC compared to Columbus, there's a cultural difference.
Yeah.
And so when we attended the church that we were visiting down there, Capitol Hill, when you get there, you can tell like people are a little bit more professional than they would be here. And there's professionals here. But there
are more of them in the area.
Yeah, and it's not that they were showing up in 3-piece suits or anything. It's just their business casual came across as more
business than casual.
Yeah, so to speak. I was going to say buttoned up, no pun intended. But yeah, I mean, it was that atmosphere in DC is that way.
Yeah. So they're very buttoned up in DC.
Very buttoned up. All buttons are buttoned.
A lot to be said there. Quick, I know everyone's listening or like dying to hear this. Mall, according to Webster and Merriam, some people call him. Yes, so usually a public area that often set with shade trees and designed as a promenade or as a pedestrian walk area. Usually paved or grassy strip between two roadways. So just this idea
that would
of like,
describe what we walked on.
That is it.
Very well.
So there's obviously like the more nuanced or kind of common people language of like connected buildings or storefronts, which also, you know, is there. Yeah, man. So I feel like traveling is, it's something new, relatively speaking. It's something that we all kind of want to partake of because even going back to like some discontentment, like it's just fun to see a new place.
Right.
It's fun to feel like there's something about people who travel, especially in the age of just social media pictures. I mean, before, like, people would travel somewhere. They would then take a bunch of pictures and then have people come over to their house and share pictures of their experience, which is really cool. And someone decided to put that out on the line and call it Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. On the line.
On the line.
You ever hear people say, yeah, I got that offline. Like, online and offline used to be synonymous.
I know.
It was like, which one do we use? Culture is pretty much adopted online.
Yeah, and off the line.
Next to America. America Online.
Yeah.
AOL.
There you go. Flashback. So anyway, this idea of like just, there's a status symbol somewhat to it. There's like, hey, I'm doing something with my life. Like, right. I'm experienced. I'm cultured. Like, people like to kind of, it's this like weird social thing where someone starts sharing about like, oh, I traveled to France. And they're like, oh, well, I traveled to France. Right, and it's like, well, I traveled to France. And it's like, okay. This is weird, like, one-upmanship about where we've traveled.
You know how I've seen it? It's not even, like, the one-upmanship about the, like, well, I've traveled to France.
Yeah.
It's, oh, while you're over there, you need to do this, and this. It's like, okay, that was a minor flex that you've been
absolutely
over there, too.
Yeah.
Like, and if you have the Did time, you? Do this.
Right.
Like, okay, so you went over there, and you had a lot of time to do things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, like, again, 20 years ago, wow, that's, now it's like, ooh. Who hasn't been somewhere?
Right.
Like, obviously, we all haven't been everywhere.
Well,
that's
a shocker. I thought everybody had been everywhere.
Nope, it's true. We all haven't been everywhere.
Good to know.
And the reality of, like, just with YouTube, like, you can literally watch videos of people walking all over the streets of Paris or wherever. So there's this way of, like, traveling without traveling. And I guess getting back to my point about traveling is, like, there's an excitement because it does take you to a new place. There's a beauty to behold. One of the things that I think about is just how like we do desire to be with people, like just not to like hard shift to spiritual things, but I was just in Acts at the end of chapter 15 when Paul's like, hey, let's go back and visit the people that we like ministered with and see how they're doing. And there's just huge appeal of like, let's travel to go see people.
Yeah.
And like before that was the primary reason you would travel. You know, there's someone somewhere I need to go talk to or be with or, you know, exchange conversation and visit. It wasn't so much, let's just travel to see a site. But I was watching this interesting thing the other day. I was put on some studying music while I was working. It was like this YouTube music playlist thing. It was just music playing, and they had like really pretty pictures.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I just was like,
I used the same thing in here.
I was like looking at these pictures. I was like, I just want to go stand and look at this. Like, I want to go behold this thing.
Yeah.
And I texted my wife Candace, and I said, babe, when was the last time we just went to see something?
Yeah.
We're not going to see a person. We're just going to go see, like, behold and take in a beautiful thing.
Right.
It's like, I can't remember the last time I did that.
So when were you watching that? Last week?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, it may have been last week as well for me.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that, I really want to travel. Yeah,
I know.
I'm just guessing you and I were at the same time. Same day, same time.
Yep.
Just having this thought together.
Yeah.
And you're just ships passing in the night.
What's the is it called ESP or whatever? Like,
yeah.
I can't remember what it's for, but like that brain thing, whatever.
Yeah. You're
like connecting. But yeah, so there's that idea of just like, I just want to behold, I want to take in, or I want to go see people.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing about travel as well is it's pretty new idea that travel is like a luxury
or
a leisure.
I was reading about this a while back.
It's very like, it's dangerous, super costly, very costly. And you had no idea that if you're going to really return or not.
It wasn't a thing that people looked forward to.
No. Yes, exactly. It wasn't relaxing. And for some people, travel still isn't relaxing. But the last thing I was going to say about travel is, I wonder what it's going to be like in the future.
Well,
beam me up, Scotty.
Well, how about Elon?
Elon.
Getting that.
Buying Twitter.
Hyperloop. Or whatever. Know, is that what it's called? Hyperloop?
Yeah, I think so.
To get that thing going.
Hyperloop.
I mean, I don't want to be the first one to try it, but...
Sign me up.
After several thousand people have tried it and it appears to be safe, then
dude, sweet. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I mean, literally to be able to, within a week, visit several parts of the world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some people do that very, very, very few because of air travel, but like to be able to travel, I wonder if it's going to flip, if it's going to go back to like traveling is not in vogue anymore at all. Like, because it's so easy, because it's so commonplace.
Yeah, right.
It's like, you guys travel? Like, who travels?
Right. Well, there's a little bit of a sense of that in me. I just, this is a humble brag that I'm ahead of the curve, I guess. No, but
oh, you guys travel?
There is a small part of me that kind of gets frustrated with people who always travel.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, hey, eventually, you've got to have real community.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
It's great that you guys get to travel, but eventually, love to see you invest in the people that are around you.
Put down some roots.
And
yeah.
And not just be waiting for the next time you can leave these people.
Yes.
You know, like I love traveling.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate the individuals who are like not counting down the days until they get to travel again.
Yeah.
Because they're content with where they are. You just had that contentment quote, which I think you should actually share on here if you can pull that out. But that, like, there's this idea of, man, I'm glad with where the Lord has placed me. I love the people around me. I want to invest in them.
Yeah.
I want them to invest in me. And the way that this works, this discipleship, like, I'm satisfied in.
Yeah.
I don't need to go see some great scenery. I don't need to go see a monument. I'm not poo-pooing on that, like, at all.
Right, right.
You want to go do that? Great. That's awesome. I want to do that.
Right, yeah.
But there's also, like, a line. I don't know where that line is, but there's a line where... If that becomes the thing that you're constantly looking ahead to, rather than being content with what the Lord has given you here, then there may be an issue.
Yeah. That's very, very true. Because I think we can then begin to live for those things. Or like, oh, I'm living for vacation. I just got to get through this semester of school. I got to get through this season so we can go on vacation.
Right.
Like, which vacation's fine. But historically, vacations are not a thing, right? And for most of the world, they're still not a thing. And so what's it mean to like live in a sustainable, healthy way? Right. And part of that is contentment.
Hey-o.
So here's a quote out of Jeremiah Burroughs, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment.
Puritan paperback, Banner of Truth. If you want to get this,
there you go.
Go to Banner of Truth.
Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. Again, Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition.
So So good, man.
So there you go. Thank you, Jeremiah
Burroughs. Thanks, Burroughs.
All right, Rob, speaking of contentment.
Yeah.
I want to talk about parenting.
Hey.
I don't know if we have enough time for all this.
Well, we'll see. How far in are we? Hold on.
I don't know. I feel like we're our ways.
We're 24 minutes in. Okay. We're doing all right.
So parenting, Rob, you're a parent.
I am.
You've been a parent for several years.
Several.
4 years. Kind of more, actually. Include
the 9 months. Yeah.
Right. When did you feel like you became a parent? Was it like after the baby was born?
Yeah, it was after the baby was born. I mean, yeah. I would, after Finley was born, the baby has a name.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say, I would agree with you. I was a parent before that.
Yes.
I mean, there's still an aspect of taking care of your child and acknowledging that that is life.
Yes.
And so you're now parents, even though your responsibilities and the way that you parent are different inside the womb versus outside the womb, you're still a parent.
That's right.
So, but it really hit me when she was born.
Yeah. Did you cry?
No.
Okay. Have you cried since?
Yeah, I've cried since.
Okay.
Yeah. But not the birth of either of our children.
Yeah. Duh. Every time I'm home, I'm crying.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So there's like parenting. We know as Christians, we're to be good parents. Like we're to be, you know, it's a big deal. The Bible, it's a big deal.
Sure.
Christian culture. But I feel like the culture at large, parenting is like this. It's like taxes. Like we know we all have to pay them or else the roads don't get paved.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not super thrilled to be doing it.
Right.
We enjoy the benefits of them when things go well, but we're not really excited about paying taxes for a lot of people or parenting.
Yeah.
You know? So I want to just kind of talk about the delights of parenting. I want to talk about the kind of the grind and then the focus. And so just the delights. What are some just things that bring delight to you about being a parent?
Okay. I affirm everything that you're saying.
Rob's face just went flush pale.
And he just said, that's my normal tone, actually.
Okay.
It's pale. So
Rob almost passed out when I asked him.
No, so there's like the obvious caveat, or obvious caveat, the obvious things.
I do love my kids.
No, that's not, caveat was even the wrong word. Freudian slip, I guess.
Rob maybe loves his kids.
The obvious ones of how wonderful kids are and how much, like how challenging, how it shaped you. And so there's things like that. But man, I was just thinking about this the other day about how different Finley and Lennon are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I love each of them and their personalities so stinking much.
Yeah.
And they're not equally easy. Like, one is more difficult than the other.
Yeah.
But I love them so much. And I'm thinking, man, my goodness. We have a boy on the way. And, Lord willing, in July. But I'm thinking, how, like, is he, in my mind, it's going to be like Finley or he's going to be like Lennon, personality-wise.
Yeah.
But there's a good chance his personality isn't like either of them.
Yeah. So who's he going to be like?
I don't. And I'm thinking, man, I love these two girls so stinking much.
Yeah.
And there's the third coming, and somehow I'm going to love this child just as much as I love these other two.
Yeah.
I don't even see how that's possible right now.
Yeah.
Because I will say very candidly, very straightforwardly, my life is much harder with kids.
Hmm.
Just straight up, it is.
Really?
Anyone who has kids, really, that's your experience.
Wow.
Anyone who has kids, unless you're a superhero, like, life is just harder with kids. However, dude. And this is this is what I mean by the obvious statement.
Yes.
I would not go back to not having kids.
Right.
It is so great. And it's not just because I love these kids, but like life is just fuller.
Mm.
And
you're going to keep having kids?
I mean, we don't plan on stopping at three, but
so you're just gonna keep
I don't
going.
Know how many. We will
19,
see.
19, 20, 21.
I can almost assure you it will not be that.
Okay.
So we've talked about four, but I don't know. We'll see. And I am so grateful for them, and I'm so eager.
Yes.
It's not just to get into that next life stage where Finley, our oldest, she's four. It's not just like, man, I can't wait till she's nine. I can't wait till she's a teenager. I can't wait till she's out of the house. It's, I'm excited for her and her personality to be in that stage. And then Lennon with a different personality. I'm excited to see how Lennon with her personality goes through that stage.
Yeah.
And any other kids we have. So this whole time you're like, oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this child goes through this stage. Like Lennon is going on two. And we're like, okay, I remember what it was like for Finley. like, I'm interested to see how Lennon does in this stage. Yeah. And there's like an excitement there.
Yeah.
And so, yes, of course, I love my kids dearly and I've never want to go back just because of the love that I have for them. But there's also selfishly like this is kind of fun to watch and take place. And yeah, of course, all the obvious things. Yes, it's really difficult. And yes, their tantrums are terrible. And
next. That's the grind.
Yeah, there you go. So we'll get there. But I'm not trying to be cheesy. That's why I keep saying the obvious.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to be cheesy. It really is great. And I really do love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. You might not hear it again.
You're right.
Rob loves his kids.
Right.
No, it's true, though. Like, I think one of the things that is a life-giving aspect of having kids, and we see this a little bit with marriage even, is that when you kind of lay down your own desires, Rob's taking his shirt off. Ladies and gentlemen, if I could just describe this moment for you. He's talking about kids and having more kids and...
I had to take my quarter zip off. I'm still wearing a shirt.
Rob's gonna head home, guys. He's got stuff he's gotta do. Anyway.
It's getting hot in this office. Like, I'm a quarter zip guy. Really like quarter zips. My thickest quarter zip. That's like, I gotta take this thing off. I'm getting too hot. Sorry for derailing you, Rick.
No, I mean, I just don't know what to say after that. Yeah, it is the delight of when you lay down your life, you're sacrificing, you're giving of yourselves, of yourself. You then see this wonderful thing that you have eyes to see of, like, this other life that is, you're giving of yourself to them. So with marriage, but in kids, like, they don't reciprocate and say, Dad, thank you so much for all that you do for me. I just see it and I appreciate it.
Right.
But they're kids. I'll just take. The delight of, you see them grow. So different pace, different rate, different things happening, but you're seeing them. It's funny, they're born and they have the full, like, newborns are precious. And I truly love that face. Like, it's a fun face. But as they grow, you see them. What I want to say, it's not true, but you see them becoming more human in a sense.
Right.
Walking, talking,
more personality,
like sharing conversations. They're sharing the things that are exciting them. What brings delight to their heart. And so in that, you're seeing this person who is from you. For most people, they're your offspring, or you're raising them. You're pouring yourself into them like they are. You're seeing them kind of become somewhat like you in a sense. Mm-hmm. They love the things that you love because you love them, or they're excited about something you're excited about just because you're their dad. They want to be excited about that as well. I think as you're talking a lot about, like, the future hope of, like, man, what are they going to be like at, you know, when Will was born, it's like, what's it going to be like as a 3-year-old?
Yeah.
What are they going to be like when they're 9? I remember when my sister, there's 8 years between myself and my younger sister, when she was born, thinking, what's she going to be like at 7? And then what's she going to be like at 14?
Right.
And 21. And she's gone through all those phases. And it's just, it's so neat. You know, even with our own kids, like, man, how are they going to interact? How can I help raise them and be intentional? And then they're just funny. Like, our kids are just hilarious. They say funny things. They ask funny questions. And then you just see, like, a purity. Now, we would say from a theological perspective, like, they're depraved.
Right.
They have sin
in
their heart. But there's a purity in the sense of, like, the things of the world have not corrupted all of their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very selfish.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But they're not, they don't have this, like, volition to go and just consume sin in another sense. So it's fun. A lot of fun to have kids. But the grind, right? So that's the part where I feel like most people are at. If you have little kids, especially, and older kids, it's different. I'm sure. I've never had older kids. I was an older kid at one time, though.
Hey, that's good to know.
I went through these years. But it is a grind. Like, it's a slog at times.
Yeah.
And you just think, not like, what's the point? But it's kind of is like, is this it? Like, cleaning the house, feeding kids, tantrums. You know, how many times do I, correct them about something? When are they going to learn? And why do you feel like that grind is so life-sucking, if I can say that? Just like, oh, it is a grind. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah, so the, I think one thing, I heard somebody, I think they said millennials or Gen Z, one of the younger generations.
One of the alphabetical generations.
Because they've grown up with TV, they view themselves as almost perpetually being the star of their own life show. Like, as if some, as if there's always an audience watching. And so their responses aren't always genuine responses, but they're responses that they would expect a character on a show that they were watching to have in that moment.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does. Almost like, okay, this like television audience that's in my head, how would they respond? Would they have respect for the character if they responded like this? So I'm going to respond in that way. So for that reason, there's me as a parent, I'm a millennial.
Yeah.
And I am parenting. And there's like this part of me that's like, boy, if someone else is watching this, I would feel like a really crappy parent right now because my daughter will not listen to me.
Yeah.
Like she will not.
Yeah.
And there's almost like a, you want a quick fix.
Yeah.
And anyone who's had kids knows there's no quick fix. And you know that. But in that moment, you're thinking about the snapshot of a scene right here.
Yes.
I just feel like a terrible parent. Yeah. I can't get my kid to obey.
Do what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's exhausting with that. It's also exhausting because you're just constantly repeating yourself. Constantly. I mean, they have to learn things and you have to tell them 15, 18, 20 times. And then not in a row, but over the course of time.
Yeah.
Sometimes in a row. But
oh yeah.
Don't touch that. Don't touch that.
Stop.
Don't
touch that. Stop.
Listen to daddy. And so you constantly got to be teaching them and reteaching them things.
Yes.
So that's exhausting. And then I am, like, I have these conversations with Finley because she is our most capable child of having these conversations. She's four. And I'll tell her, hey, Finley, you want this particular thing that she's throwing a fit about? I was like, because we have two rules. Yeah. If she's going to be out of her house, I've probably said this on the podcast already. But if she's going to be out, not out of the house, out of her room.
She's moving out in about 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta prepare her well.
She's going to be out of her room. We say, there are two rules, Finley. You're going to be out of your room. You have to listen and you have to be kind. So you have to listen in that you stop and pay attention to what mommy and daddy are saying. And you also obey what they're saying. So like listening has multiple meanings, but you got to listen.
To hear and obey,
yeah. And you have to be kind.
Yeah.
Like throwing a fit is not kind. Responding in a mean way is not kind. Not obeying, that's not kind.
Yeah.
And so we just say they're kind of general on purpose.
Yeah.
But like, hey, these are the two rules.
Yeah.
And so I will, after or while she's throwing a fit, I'll say, hey, Finley, like, what are the two rules for being out?
Yeah.
Listen and be kind.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to tell you, you phrase it like being out.
Yeah, right.
Like, what's it to be out in general population? What's it take?
I heard is Jen Wilkin. She said that what you do in your house is practice for the real world.
Absolutely.
And so I'm telling you, like, if you're going to be out of your room, if you're going to be out of your own domain,
you're going to be around others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have to listen and be kind. Even mommy and daddy have to listen and be kind. Like, we have to listen to other people. We have to respect them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have to be kind to them.
Will Smith.
So, right. And so, having this conversation with her, and poor Finley, if these things are on the internet for a long time, she's my example for so many things because she's just the first child.
Yeah.
Lennon got off easy. But, having this conversation with her and said, okay, what is it that you want?
Yeah.
I want bubblegum. Yeah. Okay. Do you think throwing a fit is going to get you the bubblegum? But I want bubblegum. No, Finn. We said you can have some after dinner.
Yeah.
All you have to do is eat your dinner.
Yeah.
You have to listen, sit at the table, eat your dinner. And do you think throwing this fit is going to get you the bubblegum? Yeah. And you're like trying to logically say like, hey, this is what you want.
A squared plus B squared equals
like,
C squared.
Like, Finley, I want you to have bubblegum.
Yeah.
It actually brings me joy. And there's like a whole theological thing behind that. It actually brings me joy to give you something that you want.
Yeah.
And in the same way, like our Heavenly Father, like it brings him joy to take care of his children. And I'm like, Finley, I want you to have this. I'm just asking you.
Yeah.
Like, what's the best way to get it?
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking like the river, the current is flowing with you if you act a certain way.
We're here for you.
Yeah, we want to give you this.
Yes.
But you can't behave like that.
Yeah.
And it's so hard logically for kids to get that.
Yeah.
And some of them do, certainly. Right. And Finley, I have no doubt, will eventually realize that.
Yeah.
But there's moments where it's like, the answer is so obvious.
Yes.
Finley, I just need you to see this. Yeah. I just need you to see this. And this, I'm talking like Finley throws fits all the time. She throws plenty of fits, but she's far more enjoyable than she is throwing fits. So,
well,
Finley, if you hear this when you're older,
Daddy loves
we do
you.
Love you. And you are wonderful.
Did you want to, well, just think about like our own heart, our own flesh. Like, I want gratification.
Yeah.
So whether that's sexual gratification, it's like to build my pride, like whatever affirmation, whatever it is, like the Lord wants that for me in the good and right proper way.
Right.
And he has provided for that in the good and right proper way.
Right.
Follow his plan. You'll get the, like, so it's funny, like it is the same struggle in our own flesh of like, well, I want what I want. I want it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go after it outside of the Lord's parameters and his design. Yeah. And it's death.
Yeah. Right?
So
there's also just like with kids, you have no time anymore. We're talking with some friends and they're about to have number two.
Yeah. And Wes and Mariah.
That'd be awesome. They just had number one. But we were talking to this other, not Wes and Mariah, the other friends. We do have other friends. And we were just saying, hey, like going from zero to one for us was the hardest because that was the biggest change in time.
Yeah.
But going from one to two, where when you have one kid, you get to in a rhythm, child has has nap time, then when nap time happens, then you guys have your own free time, you can read, you can watch a show, whatever. And that's with one. But when there's two, sometimes their nap times don't sync up.
Yeah.
And one might go down and sleep for a few hours, one might sleep for 40 minutes.
Right.
And you just don't know. And so what little free time you did have, you now have less.
Yeah.
And so that for me was one of the hardest things of not only do these children sometimes give me a hard time and not listening and not being kind, but even when they are doing all those things, I still have to be vigilant for them.
Right.
I have to watch them, I have to take care of them.
Yeah.
And even when they're napping,
mm-hmm.
it takes a minute to get into like a relaxed state for me. And just, so you have even less time and I love having time.
Right.
I love my time.
Yeah.
So you talk about the grind. There's the things just with the kids' behavior sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
But there's also just the selfish part of you have less personal time to yourself.
Yeah. Agree. Totally agree. And with as you add the second kid, like you have more work, more clothes, more things to do, diapers, all that, and less time to do it all.
Right.
More just chores and less time to do the chores in. Plus tend to your marriage, work, all those other things. So it is hard, like the grind for parenting, like there's this delight in it and there's, but it's hard. Like you're saying, like it just, it requires more of you. Kids are hard. Kids have different personalities, figuring out how to parent them and being intentional in your parenting. A lot of people, and I get this, you're just trying to get through the day.
Yeah.
Like we don't have a grand scheme for parenting. We're trying to keep a kid from like, you know, killing themselves or killing another kid or, you know, just trying to stay safe and get through the day. Let alone like be intentional with these things. And I think that understanding what's helpful is understanding the focus of like why we're parenting.
Right.
And you've alluded to this a lot, but the focus aspect of we're parenting. We've been given these kids, not just so they can grow up and be adults, have jobs, pay taxes, and we can all like have a society.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it.
Right.
But it is to honor the Lord in raising young children. We don't have any control over it. We can't control their salvation, like they're believers or not believers. But we are given, put in a position to influence their heart and their soul more, a more powerful position than anyone else will ever have to shape them in the ways of the Lord.
Yeah.
And just some scriptures that point to this, very common, right? So Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. There's the second part, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a proverb. That's not a promise from the Lord.
Right.
That's a general, like, steward your children in the ways of the Lord. And then encouragement for parents, Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3 say the very similar thing. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So Ephesians 6 says, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Yeah. Ephesians 6:4. And yeah. So you're given this duty, this responsibility, and the years are short. I mean, our kids are young, but it's already going so quickly.
Right.
And to really encourage them in the ways of the Lord and say, man, I might die tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
My kid might die tomorrow. So I'm not, my focus isn't just, well, hopefully when they're 25, they've kind of matured some and they're good people.
Right.
And they're treating people right. That's like good if they're doing those things at 25, but that's not our focus is today. As I've been given today, how do I love them well and begin to live in a way that if I'm given tomorrow, the day after, the day after, the day after, that they're going to for sure see the glory of Christ in the way that we love them. We're going to talk about the things of the Lord.
Yeah.
They're going to see the gospel lived out because they're in our home. And so maintaining that focus that it's not about you, it's about you honoring the Lord primarily mm-hmm. with the children that you've been entrusted with, stewarding that well, and then being intentional and not saying, okay, I have to fix my kid today. They got to be perfect today. They got to be good listeners or whatever. Ted Tripp talks about this in his book, Parenting, about shepherding a child's heart, about how we having obedient children is not the aim of parenting. Right. We should have obedient children.
Mm-hmm.
But if our goal is just to have obedient, well-behaved children, then we've come so short
right.
of what our mission is as parents. So just there is that grind, but keeping that focus of that we've been entrusted with them and we're called to give ourselves. So it's going to take everything we have. And we should give everything we have for these kids while we can so that we can honor the Lord and that we can do our best to show them and steer them to Christ.
Yeah. And another famous passage for that, Deuteronomy 6, I was reading today. Mm-hmm. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, not occasionally, diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So no matter what you're doing, driving across town,
yeah.
you're sitting at home, whether you're sitting down, whether you're rising up, like you should be seeking ways yeah. to diligently point your kids back to the Lord.
Amen. All right, Rob, last thing I want to talk about, really kind of frivolous.
Okay.
I'm going to say the word, you're going to respond.
Am I doing a one-word response? Or
you can, with whatever. Watch out for that blackboard there.
The whiteboard.
We'll get back to that.
Exactly.
Yard work.
Enjoyable.
Okay. All right.
Or did spring.
Did you always enjoy yard work?
No. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
Okay. Started to really enjoy it when I had kids.
Isn't that interesting?
If we're being transparent and honest and
vulnerable.
Vulnerable. No, like seriously, when yeah. sorry, it's like, hey, same with dishes.
Yeah.
We've been Marco Poloing. You're like, I always feel like you're talking to me when you're doing dishes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because when I'm doing dishes, I'm not being interrupted.
Yes.
I'm doing a chore that Danielle doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
None of the kids are going to do. And so yeah. no one's going to interrupt me while I'm doing it. Well, I yeah. shouldn't say no one. The girls will come over. And
right.
But, or if I'm doing yard work.
Yes.
Say, hey, this stuff needs to get done. I need to mow the lawn. I
yeah.
need to do some weed eating. I need to put some mulch out. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Say, hey, no one else is doing this. Hey.
That's
girls,
right.
don't mess with daddy. Daddy's taking care of the yard. Great. I can listen to something. I can call somebody. And so,
yeah.
where previously it was just like a chore for my parents.
Yeah.
That I did not enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
Did not want to do.
Yes.
I would rather be going out and playing baseball or something like right. that, hanging out with friends. Whereas now that I have kids,
yeah.
I'm like, hey, this is like 40 minutes or maybe a couple hours, depending on
yeah.
what it is, that I can just focus on this task. And it's kind yeah. of, It's not something that takes deep thought.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of relaxing in that way.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I just got to finish mowing the grass. I don't need to think yeah. too deeply about
mowing the grass.
What I'm doing here. I just need to get all the grass mowed, so, which is great. And like, I don't have to think deeply yes. about that. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy it now And again, all the caveats. I love my kids.
But I love my yard work too.
Exactly. It's just it's nice to have uninterrupted time to breathe.
If you didn't have kids, would you still enjoy the yard work?
I think I would still enjoy it, but not to the same degree. I'd still enjoy it because I like being outside.
Yeah.
And I like being outside and I can listen to something. And so it still feels like kind of relaxing time, even though I'm doing something physically.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I say that, but I'm really looking forward to when Finley gets to the age where I can be like, hey, let's do some mulching together.
Yeah.
Like, you want to plant some flowers? And whereas right now, if we were to try to do that, it's like, hey, please don't run in the road.
Right.
And so
stay out of the road.
Yeah, I got to watch her. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I think that there's something about yard work that is like, it's can be therapeutic, you know, it's kind of like, this is the little bit of space that I have to like make look nice.
Right.
And without like a whole lot of money or effort, time, effort. Yeah. Right. Like within a limited ability, you can kind of make things look nice. You see the fruit of your work, which is, especially I think as pastors, like to be like, did I put 3 hours of work in and it looks good?
Yeah.
Like there's fruit to my labor. There's something I think that goes back to the creation mandate in Genesis of like, man, we're in like working the soil and we're kind of, bringing out fruit, so to speak, from that. So
yeah, that's good.
It is an interesting thing. How
does your yard look good right now?
No,
neither's
it's
ours. Like,
it's April.
Well, I mean, I've got to do some weed and feed, and like we've got a lot of weeds. Not like the high weeds, but like the
in the grass.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called.
Weeds. I don't do anything with those usually. It's a whole thing. We've talked about the backyard. I got a backyard dilemma.
Dude, our backyard does not drain well. It's an uptown, it's a Westboro uptown thing. Like we've had so many neighbors tell us, like, "Yeah, join the club. It just doesn't drain." And I'm like, "Oh, great.
That's encouraging.
It's really awesome with young ones who love playing in mud."
Yep,
like, I hear great. You.
But yeah, the thing about yard work, I think, well, there's several things. One, it's a pretty new thing.
Yeah.
For middle class, you know, like historically, I say this all the time about everything, but like, people 500 years ago in the middle class were not doing a whole lot of yard work.
Yeah, they weren't trying to make their yards look better than their neighbors.
They weren't spending like money, any money, let alone sizable money on equipment, fertilizer,
right?
Like different kinds of supplement things for their lawn so that it like looks great. But I think there's this agrarian side to all of us. Like we want to be close to the earth, and like we want our little slice of the earth to look nice,
right?
And we want to tend to it. As I said, it's therapeutic, but there is something about it, kind of is a disconnect.
Yeah,
like you're getting away from usually a lot of the other kind of demands of life. You're just doing yard work.
Dude, we just put up two signs in our like little mulch area with the bushes saying to no pee or poop zone, like for dogs, because there's this lady, bless her heart,
I listen.
I highly doubt it, but she would take her dog. We don't know what house she's in or anything like that.
Yeah.
She's walking from a distance somewhere. She would walk right up to our bushes and her dog would like literally squat over it. Like these bushes, I don't know, maybe are 18 inches off the ground, drop a dump right on it, pee on it. And like that, like the whatever's in urine kills plants. Yeah. And like, dang it, come on, please come don't on, like.
I know.
And then we're like, we saw it a few times, and Danielle's like, she does it, and then she turns around. Like, this is her end destination. And then each time she turns around, and one day we were sitting there, and she's like, there she is, watch. Dog's going to go toward one of the last ones, dump on it, and she'll turn around. And sure enough, we watch. I'm like, what the heck? Like,
should have went out and rebuked her.
No. So we got these little signs, like, please don't pee or poop, and put them in. We're those neighbors now, sadly. But my neighbor, I needed his help with something, and he's like, hey, are those signs because of us? I'm like, dude, no, we love you guys. We wouldn't give a rip if your dog did that to us. But this one lady who we have no idea who she is, like, we're her final destination for her walk. Like, what the heck?
That's funny.
She did just walk by today or yesterday, and she did not use it.
There you go.
Signs are working.
Keep them up.
Yeah.
Yard work, springtime. So get out there and get cranking in the yard.
Right. Sweet. Anything else?
That's all I got.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to hear more, you can go to our website, simpletheology.org. You can see all past episodes. You can connect with us on social media. You can support the show. Thank you for those who do.
Yes, yes.
And if you want to help out the show, what would be really helpful is leaving a 5-star rating on whatever podcast device or app you are using.
There you go.
That would be much appreciated. All right. Nothing else. Peace out.
Bye.